welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
So, well, how many times are you going to listen to this in the same day? You know, I like this song, but I think we're stuck on the track, as it were.
Have we listened to this one? There's like seven Coldplay songs. They all sound kind of similar.
No, yeah, Coldplay sounds a lot like Chuck Berry songs. They're all the same song, just a couple
branding.
Of different lyrics here and there. 34 after the hour, Doug Steffen with Victoria Keelan, Jennifer Horn, Kara Schillen at the controls in our studio in Washington. We are here to save your soul.
Thank God.
Yes. Sounds like a revival meeting. Souls are not saved in bundles. I saw this and I thought this was wonderful. Love is the necessary force. The problems facing our country are deeper than the way we look at work and whether Daesh is the problem. I find it very troubling when I see a lot of information that seems to point at us being a mosaic instead of the melting pot. We have a crisis of segmentation in our country. We are intimate in a negative fashion. We know too much about some people, and what we know about them doesn't make any difference, really. But we use that intimacy or some of that knowledge to sort of hide our own stuff. Do you know what I mean? We look at other people and point at them and say, look at that guy or look at that woman. When in fact, we all have things. There are many of us who have something that is gratuitous, something that is distracting, something that just isn't right in the minds of somebody else. It may be, we all have reasons for being the way that we are. But I would suggest to you that there's no reason for you to dislike somebody else. The term hate comes into mind. I hear so many people, I hate Donald Trump, or I hate Hillary Clinton, or I hate this, or I hate that. Come on. You're better than that. They have problems, each of them, both of them, all of the people. Whether you're running a business, or you're running a family, or you're running for office, whatever it is, you're not perfect. Now, maybe the pile up here is greater because we know more about these people. But how many, the guy who runs Goldman Sachs, if he were to be scrutinized like this, what do you think, how does he stand up? Or the person who runs your local convenience store, or somebody who is driving a bus.
Forget that. What if you were running for office? What would people dig up on you? Because everything's available, right? So what would be the worst that they could find?
It would be embarrassing for my family. I mean, I've done silly stuff in my time. Have I done anything awful? No. But have I done things embarrassing? Of course I have.
I can't imagine you doing anything that embarrassing.
No, I've done silly things.
You know, there were some things with some girls.
Sex tapes? Okay, got it.
No, 40 years ago, and literally it was when I was just divorced, I was seeing a married woman, and her husband showed up at the door. And it was very, very, very uncomfortable. Not to mention the fact that it was, there's no reason to dig. I'm just saying.
That's nothing. That's not even registering on the needle here. The needle's not moving on that one. There's no scandal.
For Donald Trump, it has been, though. I mean, for him saying dumb things about women, it's been embarrassing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've not engaged in, even when I was younger, and I don't know why, there's no self-defense in here. I've just always pretty much stayed away from that stuff for whatever.
The problem is, though, when you live your life without a filter, with a lot, and I think Doug and I share this a little bit, and I think we're better probably on the air because you have to be, but that's what I would worry about, is I constantly say things that are just meant in jest because I just like to make people laugh. I like to make myself laugh.
Right. And you do. You make us all laugh.
I make myself laugh all the time.
Yeah.
But when I say stupid things, I go, gosh, you know what? If I ever want to run for president, Kara Schillen has all the evidence that she ever needs to take me down, because I've said a lot of stupid things on tape. Now, you know, that's the kind of stuff that you have to really worry about. So the question is, Dougie, knowing that you've got some embarrassing stuff, that nothing terrible or catastrophic, but something that would make you or your family uncomfortable.
Right, make my family.
Would you choose to run for office for the greater good, or would you protect your family? Go!
If I thought I had a chance to do some good and could win, I'd run and let the stuff, the chips fall. Because there's nothing, as you said, there's nothing that's that horrible. I certainly haven't behaved toward women the way Donald Trump has. I haven't. Have there been people who've worked for me that didn't like working for me and that think that I was a cretin? Yeah. Would they come forward? A few people that I might.
But like Victoria,
like
I wouldn't say
forward.
Anything. You can trust
no.
us.
No, yeah, I know that. Yeah.
But not like cretin. Maybe you guys had personality conflicts, but not cretin yeah. because you were, you know, trying to grope somebody.
No,
there's a huge difference. Don't paint yourself out to
well,
be way worse.
Well, there was that one time when he told Jamie Lee Curtis that he liked her beefy arms.
Well, I mean, but that's that, yeah, you know. Silly. There's so much that's silly funny. Stuff here. Anyway, the point is that I would like us to think. Better of ourselves. I think maybe that's the point. I think better of ourselves and those who are around us. But we've fallen into this whole business of, you know, because this person believes that way, he or she is wrong or bad. But the more you, maybe this is part of the symptom, I don't know. The more you desire or quest for power or control, the more it seems that things that are that make you vulnerable come to the surface. Because as a matter of course, you are going to do things because of your desire, because of what you want. It will have brought you to the precipice in other areas. You go right to the limit and maybe go over the line. But that's part of the personality of someone who seeks to either run the country, run Goldman Sachs, run whatever big company you can think of or whatever big institution you can think of. You think these people that run these huge colleges are sweet? And the reason they get there is because they are fundraisers. And if you know anything about fundraising, you know those people will stop at nothing to get at your money. And I mean nothing. So it's, you know, none of us. What is it? The old don't throw stones.
The
people live in glass
houses.
Yeah. Yeah, don't. That, I think that's a good rule to remember. Don't be critical of other people. Look at yourself.
In this day and age with Facebook and photographs and cameras on every cell phone, I mean, who does run for president in the next 20 years? I mean, there's something, I'm sure, for everybody now.
It is interesting to, I mean, the next generation, like you just said, Jen, in the next 20 years, that's going to be, you know, the social media generation running. Uh-huh. And it's going to be so interesting to see. What I think will happen is that we are all so desensitized to all of it at that point that it won't matter. But it is an interesting thing.
But it's kind of like Googling someone that you're going
to
hire. You know, it's like when you're working in the job force, you're going to Google a potential candidate for a job. That's what's going to happen on a very, very large scale for anybody who runs for any kind of higher office.
Right.
Well, there's lots of food for thought here. But I just wanted to bring that to the surface because we are so critical of others. Look at yourself. Look in the mirror. There's nothing about you that's perfection. Because you're a human being and we are born perfect. We come into this world completely clean. And then whatever is going on, whatever our lessons are, that's what we're exposed to and that's what we learn. Or that's what we have to deal with. Some of us learn our lessons and some of us don't. So that's when I get into my philosophy about coming back. You don't get it right this time. Look out because you'll be around again. and trying to figure out what it is that you're needing to learn. So anyway, this is the reflections going on now in our country, about our country, because of these people and the way they're running, I think are very important. And one of the things that I was talking about earlier, Jennifer, was the difference between the sort of baby boomers and the millennials when it comes to attitudes towards socialism and communism. A poll that was out suggests that 55% of millennials think communism is bad, whereas 85% of those of us who are older think it's bad. It just is a changing world. And so what's the next? Who's the next bad guy? Because that's what we're looking. Everybody's always looking for a bad guy.
A good
who's
guy
the
a bad
scapegoat?
Guy.
Who's the bad guy? This is the only program on the radio that doesn't have bad guys. We're all good guys. And thank you, by the way, for your
Well, I get accused of being a villain often on this show.
By whom?
Yeah, who tells you that?
Some conservative Facebookers.
Well, so that's their problem, not yours. Earlier this week, we were talking about the nastiness on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. There's
What's that reflective of? And why do you feel like you have to be so nasty? If you're that nasty, there's something nasty going on with you.
You
need to look at yourself. If you're really that angry or nasty, there's something going on with you. And hopefully you'll come to terms with it before something crazy happens. 44 past the hour.
Welcome to American Biker Minutes. Name and town.
Kimberly Austin, Stevensville, Montana.
What's it like for you?
It's fun and that I enjoy the biker lifestyle.
If you're cut out to be a biker, you'll recognize the symptoms right away.
Yeah, I like it.
Today on American Biker Minute.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Jeff Ryan for American Biker Minute. Like the commercial says, when will it hit ya?
I enjoy the biker lifestyle for sure. I didn't even start riding until like 3 months ago and became an obsession of mine real fast.
How so?
Curiosity, really. A buddy of mine was like, hey, come hop on the bike. And I had a great time. And I was like, okay, I'm definitely going to keep doing this. And it makes me feel so free and just happy and alive.
What's your ride?
A Harley.
American Biker Minute.
Big old black one.
Passport to the open road and two wheels.
Think green. Harrison with you. The actual sounds planets make as charged electromagnetic particles from solar winds bounce back to Earth, affecting our weather and communications from 2.8 million miles away. We've relied on the Mars Climate Orbiter to give our scientists a greater understanding of how natural forces work on our own planet. The Romans named Mars for their god of war, and human sacrifice was thought the only way to make Mars happy. Now we think Mars was once pummeled by floods and living water, but now we're sure life did exist as we look to rescue Earth through understanding its neighbors.
Think Green with Harrison at ThinkGreenRadio.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Today on App Check, McGyro. Sheriff McGyro aims his trusty pistol at plywood cutouts. Reminds me of my old Atari console from 1985. McGyro struck out.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Are you power hungry? Do you want the world to know that you're in charge? Are you kind of a take charge kind of a person?
Yep, that's me.
Well, here's an easy trick which unmasks would-be powerholics, but first, the social science of it. You can try this little exercise. Take your index finger of the hand you write with and draw the letter E on your forehead.
Well, I can do that.
If you drew it where an onlooker could tell it's the letter E, you're not as power hungry as you think. But if you drew the letter E backwards where it looks like the number 3 to the onlooker, you ignore others and you're likely out for power.
The world is now under my control.
What's the cheap psychological trick? Well, if you ignore the perspective of others, you do it at your own peril. Even power-hungry people cannot survive without followers. Got a question? You can send it to me at drbob.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit HappylandAudio.com. That's HappylandAudio.com.
Now, let's meet a couple of people who are going to help us figure out what, as we spend so much time in this, in our country, especially in the world, and I find it appropriate for us to talk about this because there's a lot of medical news and information discussed on this program, and the topic of cancer in the workplace is important. So let's meet Sonia Kashuk and Rebecca Nellis. Ms. Kashuk is a cancer survivor, founder of the Sonia Kashuk Beauty Line. And Ms. Nellis is the Chief Mission Officer at Cancer and Careers. Ladies, welcome. Why is this an important focus, cancer in the workplace versus cancer in any other arena that we live in?
Well, for me, you know, as a woman who was diagnosed and, you know, went through breast cancer, I have so many people now that I speak to throughout every day someone calls me with a cancer diagnosis. And I think the first question that is will I, am I going to survive? And the second is, can I work? And so, you know, nobody has a clue of what their rights are when it comes to a cancer diagnosis and working. And it's such an important aspect of your diagnosis as well, for on the level of how you feel emotionally and mentally, and giving you something else to focus on rather than just your diagnosis. So in a weird way, work is a very healthy place to be in a emotional position.
Yeah, I think.
And I mean, for me, you know, it's the first thing I tell women, men, is go to work. Like after a treatment, try to go to work, because it's like you have something else to focus on. And I think that there's nothing else in the world like cancer and career. So it's a super powerful organization. And Rebecca, I think you can even talk to it on a bigger level.
So yes, when we're talking about cancer, more than 1.6 million people are newly diagnosed each year. So that's a big number in our population. And so as Sonia pointed to, work can provide all kinds of sources of support, from obviously paycheck and health insurance and benefits, but also emotional and intellectual and identity level of support. And so in our most recent survey, 73% of cancer patients and survivors said they wanted to work. And patients often tell us that work helps them, you know, maintain that sense of normalcy. And as Sonia said, takes the focus off their diagnosis. The vast majority, in fact, said working helped in some way, most commonly by making them feel normal, providing a routine, making them feel productive, keeping their mind off cancer. So Sonia's personal experience really brings to light what we're hearing from survivors anecdotally and through the data.
Well, let me, we just give about a minute here. Ms. Kashuk, what is your employer, the boss, what's the role of the boss here?
Well, I think there's many different roles that boss can take on. I mean, as you know, I was in control of my own company, so I didn't personally have to deal with that. But I think, you know, that starts coming into who that person is and how that person is able to deal with an employee. Both, you know, this is one that heartfulness, that's when the real person kind of steps forward, of how do you deal with an employee with a diagnosis, and understanding the personal and the professional aspects of it.
The human side of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Sonia Kashuk and Rebecca Nellis, if you want more information on this, this is good for all, it would seem, including those who've had cancer. Cancerandcareers.org. Cancerandcareers.org. Ladies, thank you for the story.